Puccini's Tosca is a very controversial opera. Composers and critics are not so fond of this opera. The famous examples are Gustav Mahler, the composer, and Fausto Torrefrank, and many very good critics. They really said second-rate music, which I don't agree at all. Tosca is a huge masterpiece.
You know, you can really easily do Tosca dramatically. You can put it on the stage and it'll be fine. But there is so much in this piece, in music and text, and if you can just play that, you've got an entirely different type of Tosca.
Okay.
So that's what we're trying to do.
I think Tosca's my favourite opera, if I have to have one, simply because not only is the music absolutely wonderful, it's so well constructed, I mean, musically and dramatically. If you look at the Sardou play on which it's based, it's five acts long, rather unwieldy, and you get to the big final scene, of course, and it's quite short. What it does, however, provide is a lot of background information to the characters, which we don't necessarily get from Puccini and his librettists. But Puccini compacted all this into, you know, a couple of hours of music and musical characterization. So whereas you get the characterization in words in Sardou, you get it musically in Puccini.
It's like, you know, I trashed everything you represent.
Every great opera composer is a great dramatist. Mozart knew how to write using closed forms, using arias and with recits with the cembalo. Then Verdi was another great dramatist, and he wrote without the cembalo, but with many recitativi and some closed arias. In the end of his career, even Verdi destroyed a little bit the closed arias. I think Puccini is the ideal connection between old opera and new opera and the future, if opera will have, or what opera will be. What is important is to find the essence of a theater without forgetting that music must be the most important thing in the piece.
What I've tried to do this time is to try and make it pretty clear what the situation was like in the Rome in which these characters lived. It was a Rome that was in turmoil, political turmoil. Italy was in turmoil. Rome had just come through a very short-lived Roman Republic. The Pope was about to come back to Rome. Suspected revolutionaries were being tortured, arrested, shot, and people could be arrested very easily at that time. Some of the nobility were certainly implicated, and so we try and make it a pretty bloody Tosca, actually. And against the background of this, we have this extraordinary opera about a prima donna, but of course it's an opera that's ultimately about a woman who gets unwittingly involved in these events.
Tosca, la Tosca.
Si?
What are the challenges of this role for you? It's a long role.
Oh, I've done worse.
Did not? Yeah?
Yeah. But it's a great piece of theater. For an actor, it's really great, and it's great music, so I love it. I really do.
Now, you've done it quite a bit.
Yeah, and that was my main, the opera I had in my competition when I was in music school, in the Paris Conservatory. And that was my final exam, was Tosca, so she's a very old friend. Mm.
She is a very young person. And she has been raised by nuns, and she's been in Rome just for 3 years when the opera begins. She's been working with the Pope's countertenor, who taught her how her technique and stuff like that. But she's not a girl from the city. She doesn't know about manners, really. She knows how to behave in front of the Queen Carolina, because that at least she learned, but mainly she's a girl from the hills in Verona, and she has no social behavior whatsoever. So when she has to cheat, it's instinctive, but she doesn't really know how to cheat. And the moment she has to be confronted to pain, to her lover's suffering, etc., etc., then she loses completely her temper, which would happen, I think, to almost anybody.
Yep.
Yeah, so I know that. I know the line, so don't worry.
Okay.
You still hold me for the first Carnefice. And then Carnefice will do something like...
Okay. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. You'll
that's a signal tone, yeah.
Her best quality is, I think, her love. Her capacity of love and of pity, of compassion, sympathy and empathy with suffering. And that's very close to what I am too, so I think that's why I like her.
Yeah.
also a tenor who, having started out, maybe almost like when he's at college, you know, starting out with a political cause, has now there's been a Roman Republic, he's now gone a lot further in being very upfront and outspoken about it. So he's a serious suspect.
Marcus Cavaradossi has, of course, his own challenges. I think of Recondita Armonia, which, of course, is the first aria that you sing. Is this a difficult piece to start an opera with?
Yeah, that's just rude. to start with the Recondita Armonia, because everyone is waiting for it. Everyone wants to know, can the tenor do the B-flat? Does he have all of the chops for it, you know? And it's like, and then it finishes, and they don't know whether they're supposed to clap or not, because the music keeps going, and the tenor is left there to wonder whether they liked him or not the whole evening.
I really don't approach Cavaradossi as a character too many different ways. He's pretty well placed as he is. And then the only thing we bring to it that might alter that character is ourself, is our own personality. We bring that to it. And that changes. Sometimes it changes with our mood. Sometimes I don't feel as youthful. And so I won't have a Cavaradossi that's as youthful. And sometimes it depends on my colleagues, and maybe we have a different rapport and it creates a different response from me as a person, which influences the character. I don't honestly spend a whole lot of time thinking about Cavaradossi, simply because for me he's so straightforward. There's not a whole lot that one can do. There's not a lot of it. The development of the characters is outlined as perfectly as it can be. Cavaradossi is being tortured, and what's the worst thing you could do to a painter or someone that uses his hands as a livelihood? Albeit he's a nobleman, he probably has money and may be doing this on the side. But very important to him is his painting, and he's doing this, for the church, is to break his hands, to render them completely useless. And it totally destroys him as a person, completely. So, to torture me, to hit me in the face, or, I don't know, waterboard me, or whatever you might want to do, would only go so far. But if you tried to do something to remove my voice, that would be the worst thing someone could do to me. And I think that with the Cavaradossi, that it's the same thing.
Is there a moment of yours that you're favorite in this opera that you really identify with?
As a woman, I think it would be the moment when Scarpia tries to rape her. this is very, that happened to me. And so every time it's like a kind of treatment, like a shrink treatment, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's the worst, almost the worst thing that can happen to a human being, being raped.
And Escarpia says, you know, he can have two at once. He can get rid of Cavaradossi, have him on the gallows, and have Tosca as well.
Most of the time I'm doing things that people don't do or wish they could do, or and I sort of go to that space as well. A lot of the characters I find, and I approach it this way too, is that they're from external process, they seem evil, bad people. But a lot of the guys that I play are narcissistic and feel justified and feel like they're doing the right thing. So if you play bad, then I don't think it's quite as successful as someone who believes he's doing some good, despite his sort of left turn, especially with Scarpia, despite his left turn with chasing Tosca, that I think it's a much more interesting character that despite it all, he thinks he's doing something really good. And, I mean, he's convinced because he's connected to the church, he's connected to the queen. Of course he's doing something good. How could he be bad?
My fallace speranza, la regina farebbe grazia.
You seem to be particularly enjoying yourself towards the end of the Te Deum.
Yeah.
It was almost pornographic.
Well, he's unleashed at that point, and it's a glimpse into the depravity of the character, and it is what it is. I mean, he says at one point, Tosca, you make me forget God, in the midst of the Te Deum, which for someone who's twisted, you know, that's also... this whole being in the church setting, but yet feeling this lust, and one is feeding the other, and it just sort of builds and builds and builds. Are you pleased that there is a Facebook page called Greer Grimsley is an Opera God?
All right. Well, let me... It is... I mean, you can't but be flattered by someone who's inspired to start a Facebook page with that title. I had nothing to do with it.
That's what we wanted to hear.
Yeah, no, I had nothing to do with it. And actually, my daughter found this and enjoined and told me about it. So, no, I mean... It is incredibly flattering, and I think it's very sweet for all those people to have entered into that Facebook.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have something like 25 supers in the cast of this Tosca. They range from being cardinals and priests. Swiss Guards, to being part of the firing squad, to being the sbirri, or the spies of Scarpia. And it's not an easy job. They're pretty high profile, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them are.
Come lunga l'attesa, perché indugiano ancor.
The firing squad is a difficult job because a lot of the time you don't have people with military training. And I have no military training. But, you know, this is something that has to look dramatic, it has to work musically, and it has to be, above all, safe. Well, you know, we're not using rifles, you know, which are seriously charged. Yeah. I mean, they have a charge and a blank. You know, there has been the occasion when people have been hurt by it. So, you know, they have to be pretty sure that they're not firing directly at the singer concerned. So it's a responsible job.
Shoot. This is the way, he doesn't
stand up. I've AD'd on so many productions of Tosca. And my job was always to train the firing squad. And so this time I decided that Keturah was going to have the pleasure of doing that. And she's done a great job, I have to say, with them. And no, she doesn't let them off lightly.
Well, I'll take this off of Wayne, okay? But on his nod, watching your periphery, he'll nod, and we do a right face. Feet together. Grab the top of your gun and the butt on the ground. And then our second position, which changed, what was that? He takes his hand to his sword, and we took a step forward with our left, lifted our gun to a 45-degree angle, so you went up in the air, guys, up in the air, up in the air, so that if it went off, it would shoot up, it wouldn't shoot at. And this is where we cock it.
It's not like I'm really going to die, but there is a sense of, this is awful, what's about to happen, because I'm feeling it. Not just standing there, okay, they're going to shoot and I'm going to fall down, but there's a whole sense with that music that builds up to it. And if you're listening to it and if you're in the character, you find yourself hoping your heart doesn't stop, you know, because they fire those weapons and, you know, you suddenly, whoa, and every picture you've ever seen by some war correspondent or somebody sort of flashes through your mind at that moment. And you go, wow, you know, could it be like that?
I think even Tosca is the beginning of the Italian verismo. What he wrote anticipates the way of writing of Mascagni, of Giordano, of Leoncavallo, because the action is king, And the music is not just a comment, but is extremely connected to what is happening on stage, that for this reason we can say that Tosca is the first opera that introduces verismo. Puccini, in the last years of his life, said, "I have been touched by God, who told me, write music, but write music only for the theater. And this is what I feel."
Okay, so make me proud here, fellas. Don't shoot me.
Totally.
Don't think I won't use it.
Stage
Don't think I won't use it.
Oh, we know you will. We want to be the tag at the end.
Okay.